In order for us to prepare for our study, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer, and you may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of continuing our pursuit of truth. It is our prayer that as we provide the positive volition, that the Holy Spirit would advance us in our doctrinal concepts, retentions, and ultimately applications. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. When we ceased the first session, we were taking a look at the evaluation tribunal of Christ, and as a result of that, we noted a number of things that occur there, and it is, if the rapture is imminent, so is this. That was the point I wanted to make. This explosion that you see here has to do with what happens in the evaluation. Some people are saved, go to heaven when they die, or are raptured out, as the case might be. And as a result of that, then they're going to be evaluated based on what they were able to accomplish spiritually during the period of time in their physical life between their salvation and either the rapture of the church or physical death. And so you're familiar with that concept, but the evaluation tribunal is as imminent as is the rapture. In other words, what happens after the rapture of the church occurs. We have the great genuflect, and we have, of course, the assembly that is necessary for the evaluation and then the evaluation itself. And that's what we noted in our closing point. And then there was a point. The overall meaning and inherent power of assembling for Bible class is to accrue the thinking of God, since gradually encroaching with each passing day is the prophesied transfer from time until eternity. Now is the time and now is the hour to accumulate doctrine in your soul so that on any given day you're prepared to meet your Maker as possible. That is something that obviously is the case because you do not know when you're physically going to die. People that are very, very young die at a very early age because of circumstances regarding health, traffic accidents, warfare, neighborhoods where things burn up or gunfire erupts. These kinds of things can end a person's life at a very early age. And then some people just live long enough to where everything gives out and they up and die. In the meantime, they have the obligation to grow in grace, and that gives them the chance to aggrandize the eternal future beginning at the evaluation tribunal. Nevertheless, by doing so, you profit from the biblical inventory in time, and in so doing, you accumulate the doctrinal capital that prepares you for the change of station from time until eternity, which could occur at any moment. See, one of the evaluations that we have among them is this concept of imminency. If you're raptured out this afternoon, whatever doctrine you know and have been applying and facilitating and ultimately having to aggrandize and strengthen and therefore have this tremendous power available to you or not. That's the challenge. And it can happen this afternoon, and whatever you've accomplished up to this point, that's what you'll be taken to the evaluation tribunal, and that's why I wanted to show you that picture of the explosion. The younger a person is, the less emphasis he naturally has with regard to his eventual death. But that is not the focus the writer of Hebrews wants the reader to have. Instead, he wants positive volition toward the teaching of Bible doctrine to be a constant motivation to move forward in the plan of God, and the question emerges as to why. Since we do not know when we shall leave this earth, and because we do not know is the reason for the necessity to assemble ourselves together. We are in a process of acquiring enough information in our souls to have invisible historical impact. Our duty is to be good witnesses for the prosecution in the appeal that Lucifer won by objecting to his sentence to the lake of fire. And so God granted the appeal. And I'm telling you, when the colonel was able to communicate to me to where I understood it, that what is going on in human life is the playing out of this appeal. And they're witnesses for the prosecution, and they're witnesses for the defense. And those who are believers in Jesus Christ also can be witnesses for the defense because of absence of spiritual doctrine in their souls, absence of application of what they know, or just remain stupid until they die. These are the ones, although saved, that have become witnesses for the defense. And as we move forward in our personal lives, we see, and in fact, let's see if I can drill back and find that picture. This picture right here, these two scenarios are present on every single day. Live your life before God as if the rapture would occur tomorrow. And then, being logical about it, live your life before your fellow man as if the rapture would not occur during your lifetime. And so these two options are always on board and functional. And there, because of imminency of the rapture, we have to be oriented, adjusted to what we can do in time that God has allotted us to make the advance for the aggrandizement of doctrine in our souls and be a part in our time here on earth of securing the freedom and prosperity that is required for spiritual growth to have a broad opportunity to not only take in people who place their faith in Christ, but have the time to aggrandize that in their spiritual growth process. And so a lot of things are going on, but one of the things you see in this Hebrew passage is the alertness that is necessary for the job that we have, of course, been assigned. And that is, be encouraged by the idea that the rapture could occur at any moment. If that is the case, then that is your life before God. You've got to grow in grace because today may be the last day. And then, of course, in that process, until the rapture does occur, you are to live your life before your fellow man and do so in a way that aggrandizes the doctrine you know and has historical impact on those with whom you congregate. And so these are the kinds of things that you must keep in mind, and therefore, as you do, you're able to focus on your objectives. So the younger a person is the less emphasis he naturally has with regard to his eventual death. But that is not the focus of the writer of Hebrews, and therefore wants the reader to have. Now instead, he wants positive volition toward the teaching of Bible doctrine to be a constant motivation to move forward in the plan of God. And the question arises as to why. And since we do not know when we shall leave this earth, and because we do not know is the reason for the necessity to assemble ourselves together. If we knew when the rapture would occur, then we would probably want to come over here and stay until it happened. And then probably need a number of people to volunteer when somebody grows hoarse, and then let somebody else stand up here and try it out. But if you knew when the rapture was going to occur, two things could happen. You get locked in on growing in grace and inculcate as much as you could over that period of time, or just decide to raise hell for a while. And then everybody else is in between. Not knowing is a good idea. That it is imminent is the challenge. So this individual wants positive volition toward the teaching of Bible doctrine to be a constant motivation to move forward in the plan of God. And, of course, the question is why. It is, since we do not know when we shall leave this earth, and because we do not know is the reason for the necessity to assemble ourselves together. The real attention getter here is not really one's physical death, but one far more imminent, and that is the rapture of the church. This is indicated by the phrase, as you see the day drawing near. Well, it's been drawing near since the first century. The verb to see is the aoristic present active indicative, blepo. The present tense is a retroactive, progressive present that denotes what has begun in the past and continues until the present. So the concept is to see. Those who have studied doctrine and retained it are aware of the imminency of the rapture. The active voice indicates that those who have grown spiritually produce the action of knowing the rapture could occur at any moment. Never forget that. So this day may be the day. But don't forget the obligation that there's a dual strategy here that you can see in this visual. Life before God as if the rapture could occur today. Can you continue to grow in grace until midnight tonight? And then on the other hand, if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, then you got to figure out how to get along with the people here, both believers and unbelievers. And doctrine is the guidepost on how to do that. And the idiosyncrasies that other people have can often be, let's say, gut-galling to some. But they're believers. And therefore, they have to be accepted as that. And if you intervene with some kind of negative ideas or behaviors, then all it does is aggrandize that person to think, it's always what I thought it would be. These Christians can't be trusted. And on their rationales would go. The royal law disarms all of that. There are people over whom you have authority, but otherwise let God take care of it. And we are in a position as a nation of needing the royal law in order to endure what's before us. There's nothing we can do about this physically. You can pray about it. That would be a good idea. But with regard to having any historical impact on it physically and things that we actually could impute into the discussion, we've got no power. The power is in the Word of God. The power is in your soul. You are in a position right now never before faced by any group of Christians since the first century. Now, the first century people would argue, because there were some deals going on up in Rome that did create problems. But it was not global. There is a global situation now, and the power to resolve this, to endure it, and to have positive historical impact, all of that is in the hands of a few people in client nation America. You're the ones, and you have to hold the fort. We're the ones that historically find ourselves at this critical moment in world history. And your ability to get in the pivot, or if there, to maintain that status quo is extremely important. And God will honor your efforts. He will protect you because Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. That's where the power is. The effective power is found nowhere else. So, the rapture drawing near is a motivation to keep plugging away, because you don't know when it will occur, and you don't know if it'll occur in your lifetime. Your objective, though, is to continue to function in this particular area here. This down here, royal law. Get your mind right. We're the ones, the invisible warriors, are those who have advanced to pivot status in client nation America. And you do not have the option of being afraid. I'm sure I've seen war movies. I don't know if anyone in here has ever been in a war. But we've had a lot of military people, as the walk of honor out front indicates, a lot of military people who come through here in the 30-some-odd years I've been here. And some of them have been in combat. And I don't know when the first day they were assigned to go wade into battle. I'm sure that the nerves were right on edge. Why would they not be? But they went. And we have had people in our military to go and wade into the battle throughout our nation's history. And they defeated the enemies on every occasion. And during the process, never except the Brits, never except the Brits, and that sad day in September of '01. Nobody's penetrated the shores. Nobody. And therefore, people have guarded the shore. They've waded into literal battle and won the day. Now, how about here? The enemy is within. Fellow citizens, what about now? Who among us is able to hold the line? Now, I'm telling you, those that have the power to hold the line are invisible heroes. And I would hope to say that each and every one of you are among that group. And we have to hold the line. Now, if we don't, fine. Yes, that's in the decree. And if you understand the divine decree, then whatever goes there is God's business. All of this is His business, really. The real attention getter here is not really one's physical death, but one far more imminent, the rapture of the church, indicated by the phrase, as you see the day drawing near. Well, it's certainly drawing near. Every day makes it even more imminent. The verb to see is the aoristic present active indicative of blepo. This is the present tense. It is retroactive progressive present. It denotes what has begun in the past and continues to the present hour. So those who have studied doctrine and retained it are aware of the imminency of the rapture. The active voice indicates that those who have grown spiritually produce the action of knowing the rapture could occur at any moment. So you know that. So what's the motivation knowing that? It's the what you see on the board. Right up here. And right down here. Imminency, get your mind right with God. Down here, royal law. You get your mind, you buy into these two things here in this diagram, then you understand your duties in this invisible war, which you are now engaged. It's as simple as this. And this is not simple, but it's two concepts that give you the power to be a good soldier for Christ. Those who have studied doctrine and retained it are aware of the imminency of the rapture. The active voice indicates that those who have grown spiritually produce the action of knowing the rapture could occur at any moment. Consequently, they realize the urgency of consistent attendance in the local assembly and the consistent pursuit of truth within the environment of the church auditorium in concert with other believers. Get in concert. You do not have the option to be in opposition to anyone who is a fellow member of the royal family of God. We're all in this together, just at different levels of the spiritual advance, and therefore you have the royal law to aggrandize your associations with anyone that is a member of the royal family of God. You say, well, I don't like Fred Johnson. Well, then, objectively, someone would say, you know, just a lot of people don't like Fred because he's this, that, and the other thing. He does that and says this. What have you accomplished by all agreeing on Fred being somebody that's a problem? Everybody's against Fred. That's why possibly that's the way he is. And he is the way he is because everybody's constantly browbeating him, who don't have the authority to do so. God has the authority. It could be he's getting all these evaluation tribunal goodies because of you. He's enduring. The indicative mood is declarative and views the action of the verb from the viewpoint of absolute reality. The rapture event could occur at any time and it could happen on any day. The lie is then proclaimed as truth, and those who stand fast in opposition are accused of committing sins against individual, societal, and cultural absolutes. The believer's duty is to maintain and stand firm from the fortress of truth, to live by it, to uphold it, to proclaim it, and to do so by physical death, until your physical death, or by the rapture of the church. All right. James concludes verse 8 with this quote, "For the coming of the Lord is near." The word that begins this final phrase is the noun parousia. Its basic definitions are a state of being present, coming to a place, or coming or arriving. That's the idea. In several New Testament passages, it is used to designate prophetically the rapture of the church initiated by the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ in the atmosphere of the earth, and that's accompanied by the elect angels and by church-age believers who had previously died physically, but returning to exchange their interim bodies for resurrection bodies. Now, point 43 is a mouthful, and a lot of doctrines involved in that, so let's do it sequentially, but independently. In several New Testament passages, it is to designate prophetically the rapture of the church, initiated by the arrival of Jesus Christ in the atmosphere of the earth. Now, there's a doctrine here. This is not an advent. He does not come back to the earth's surface. It's only in the atmosphere around the earth. He doesn't come to the earth. It's not an advent. The second advent occurs at the end of the tribulation, yet future. He is accompanied by elect angels. These elect angels are in three categories: seraphim, cherubim, and pois vivant. Their number is myriad. How many attend on this particular occasion is unknown, but their numbers, no doubt, are myriad. So all are elect, and then accompanying them will be church-age believers. This goes all the way back to the first century. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 was the starting point for the church age, when those people believed in Christ on that occasion through faith alone and Him alone. And the church age continues until the rapture of the church. Okay, there's a sequence of events that must transpire in order to bring the church age to a conclusion, and we're noting this two-step process in point 43. So these people previously died during the course of the church age, died physically, and they were absent from the body and face-to-face with the Lord. How are they absent from the body and face-to-face with the Lord? That occurs in an interim body, and the interim body is maintained in heaven until the rapture of the church, at which point they come back with Christ and His delegation of angels to the atmosphere around the earth. These people then are guided by angels to their place of rest, so to speak, where their bodies are buried. And they go there, and they are the ones who are the first to receive a resurrection body. And then they go up to be with the Lord in the air. And then a microsecond later, then we have those who are alive at that moment, and then they go up into the atmosphere with Jesus Christ and those that just preceded them. They exit the universe, and then they have the big genuflect in the third heaven, and then we have the organization of the evaluation tribunal at a given place, and then the process begins there with regard to rewards or retention of rewards. All of that is bound up in point 43. James concludes the verse with a perfect active indicative of engizo. This perfect tense is intensive, indicating the rapture is getting closer and closer with each passing day. So we have engizo. Now James, writing in the decades of the AD 40s, presents the prophecy, the quote, "coming of the Lord is near." He writes that in James 5, verses 7 and 8. What do you mean by that? it's imminent. James understood that it could happen in his lifetime. Paul thought so too. That was almost 2,000 years ago, and still there is no parousia. How are we to evaluate this 2 millennia delay? It seems like maybe it's just been too long a time. 2,000 years, almost. About 10 or so years short of 2,000. Well, think of the size of the body of believers that have been aggrandizing over time for 2,000 years that are going to be able to get a resurrection body and move into heaven and then populate the millennial kingdom. Wow. So time is really on our side. The more people, more time we have between Acts 2 verse 4 and the date of the rapture, is the more people can believe in Christ and be a part of the rapture generation, which ultimately will occur. So James is writing the decade of the AD 40s. He presents the prophecy, the coming of the Lord is near, in James 5, 7, and 8. That was almost 2,000 years ago, and still there is no parousia. How are we to evaluate this 2 millennia delay? Therefore, principle. Since there is no unfulfilled prophecy during the course of the church age, then we may confidently conclude that the next prophetic event will be the rapture. It was that way in the first century. Since this is true, the first century church anticipated the rapture until the principle of imminency. And Paul wrote about this conclusion in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 6 through 8. The testimony concerning you, that's plural pronoun su, believers in Corinth, the testimony concerning all y'all was confirmed among you. You are not lacking any spiritual gift. Okay, who's the you here? Note that the pronoun is plural. Okay, so you refers to this plural pronoun. The testimony concerning all y'all, you have to get the plural in there. You all are not lacking any spiritual gift. That's the people in Corinth of all places. You should be eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he has already ascended and is heaven as right hand of the Father, and therefore this references the rapture of the church. Verse 8, who will also confirm you to the end, that would be to the end of the church age, with the imputation of a resurrection body. Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day. That's the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's 1 Corinthians 6, 1, verses 6 through 8. And we also have the Hebrews passage we've noted earlier today. And in each case, in each one of these, it is promoting the idea of motivation to keep plugging away and advancing in the system because the rapture could occur at any moment. And we see here, who will also confirm you to the end. And the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the rapture, who will also confirm you to the end of the church age with the imputation of a resurrection body, and you will be blameless in the day. That's the rapture of the church. Blameless how? Resurrection body. From this passage, it is apparent that Paul understood the imminency of the rapture and because of this anticipated it to occur in his lifetime. And I don't blame him. He wanted to get out of Dodge. They're going to wind up killing him, which is fine. His interim body got a head put back on. Had a new, I don't know if it was surgery or what. But then he'll get a resurrection body at the rapture. See, Paul's involved, if you've given any thought to this, all these guys that wrote in the New Testament, all the people that are mentioned there that believed in Christ, we're all one bunch. I don't know if we're going to be introduced or not. I'm not suggesting that. We'll be sitting, we're back row people. We're better. There's some people on the front row and some people on the back row, and there's a milieu in the middle. We are all happy to be there. So it was reasonable for Paul to conclude this, since there was nothing in Scripture to indicate another prophetic event would precede it, and there isn't. However, after almost 2,000 years since Paul wrote, we find ourselves with the same conclusion. Why not now? That is because of the testimony of the farmer, James 5:8. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord, the rapture, is near. It was near. This is James writing in the first century, around somewhere 44-ish, 45. There's a debate, I've told you often, between among the theologians, that James or Paul in Galatians is the first book in the New Testament. And I've done my research, and I'm happy to have input from you if you know better. But I have come to the conclusion that James was the first entry, the written entry into the New Testament. And that would have occurred somewhere around 44-ish. And then he's a half-brother of Christ, and he has a church in a synagogue in Jerusalem. And he writes this text here. But on this subject, we have no more information regarding the day of the rapture than he did. That's first century, 44-ish. He was comfortable to remain patient. The seeds were in the field. He anticipated the early and late rains. He was prepared to harvest his crops at the appropriate time, although the prophecy of the rapture indicates it is imminent. It does not reveal any catalyst for the event. There is no historic event that therefore prophesies its imminency is now. And so this is known only to the Father, and this is in Mark 13, verse 32d. Its execution is in the divine decree about which we are not aware. Therefore, to what conclusion are we forced? The rapture being imminent may occur in our lifetimes, but maybe not. Consequently, we are to use its imminency as a motivation to grow in grace. That's why you don't know, because you want to aggrandize what you know. What if you're the rapture generation and you do not go through the effort of growing in grace, facilitating doctrinal ideas, and therefore from that system of working objects make application in the hostile environment of the devil's world? You have the opportunity to acquire an inventory of doctrinal artillery that can be fired into the invisible war. And you don't have to do anything, you just think it. There may be some application here and there, but primarily it's thinking. And if you can't think the Word of God, then there's not much applying that's going to go on. Consequently, we are to use its imminency as a motivation to grow in grace, advance to spiritual maturity, and make spiritual growth our top priority. In James 5:8, the coming of the Lord at the rapture is indicated by the noun parousia. Now, I have four dictionaries that I reference. I have eight, actually. But I have four where this word parousia is listed in the English dictionary. Okay. They define the noun as the second coming, which is the Lord's second advent. This is correct. However, it is also the term that refers to the rapture of the church. So they only told half of it when you put it in an English dictionary. It is true that the second advent is a parousia. This is a parousia, but it is not an advent. It is the rapture of the church. So it has been transliterated into the English dictionaries, capitalized, parousia, and defined as the second coming. In some context, it does, but in others, which we're noting, it refers to the rapture of the church. Now, what follows is an interesting and insightful synopsis of the words parousia, coming, and in Gidzo near regarding James's comments on the rapture. This is James 5, verses 7 and 8. We're not going to do that today. That requires some commentary. We've got about four actually on this. And we're going to see an exposition by James in that particular passage. And we will do that when we resume our study this coming Wednesday evening at the usual time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had today to delve into your immutable word and to take a look at an event that is yet future but imminent. Therefore, motivation for us to be more motivated to inculcate your immutable word into our souls for retention, aggrandizement, facilitation, and application. And as a result of having that inventory, we become potentially good soldiers for Jesus Christ within the hostile environment of the devil's world. Motivate us to become good soldiers for Christ as we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dismissed.